when she's been, and
like a BB moment, which is like a beautiful black moment. Did we get any of those in this episode?
Black.
We have a chaotic bi moment of the
chaotic bi moment. And you're watching Black Bi Reality.
Black Bi Daddy.
And those who love us.
Welcome to the Black Bi Reality podcast, a podcast for Black Bi baddies and those who love us. We are here to talk about episode 9 of Survivor 47, and I have Gia Worthy back. Hi, Gia.
Hi, Nicole. I am so happy to see you. I want to preface that. Mm-hmm. However, I am devastated that we are meeting under these circumstances, not even 10 minutes after a devastating boot.
I know. Also, like, my heart was racing this yes. whole end of the episode. I was just like, I don't know what's going to happen. I know what I want to happen.
I really thought that we were going, like, somebody else that was not Saul or Sue was getting voted. I thought we were getting a completely different third option. And it was one of those, like, they're blindsiding the audience type thing. So mm-hmm. I was holding out hope until the very last second that, like, literally until there were no more votes left where a third option
I know.
Be brought out there. I was so hopeful that we were getting a bait and switch between Saul and Sue for the third person. And that did not happen. It was definitely a messy tribal council. I'm so curious to see how it ended up with this unanimous vote here, but it was very rough.
Very, very rough. I guess we should go from the beginning, though.
I guess. And also just the joy of it. I hate the format of this immunity challenge. I'm just going to say it right off mm-hmm. the bat, and we'll get into that later, but I found, I forget who tweeted it. I want to say it's Mike Bloom. So if it's not Mike Bloom, I apologize. But with a stat that came up today that for every season that they've done this, like, start in pairs tribal council, yeah, where they, like, you start in pairs at the immunity challenge, mm-hmm. and then with each round, a pair or two get eliminated until you have an endurance challenge at the end. So for those challenges, every time we have had this, which I think is 43 onwards, mm-hmm. the person that went home that episode was somebody that made it to the final round and did not win. So it happened in 43 with Dwight. It happened in the other seasons that we had this. And now it has happened again with Saul.
Yeah.
Yep.
For sure. Oh, that's a good point. That's a good point. And it's like, I guess it's kind of a goldfish mentality, isn't it? It's like you kind of forget everything else that happens except right? for what just happened before you. And it's like,
yes.
Kyle won all of those times and we're not talking about Kyle at all.
I love Kyle. I have a very, a tweet that is still getting likes a week later about how much I love this veggie man. Like, I love him and I want him to stay as long as possible. Fair. However, I'm shocked that this was not put into consideration more. We saw him kind of thrown out there as a potential option here with his immunity wins.
Mm-hmm.
But it did not come to fruition, and I'm kind of happy it didn't come to fruition, only because I feel like with this cast in particular, it just seems too obvious that the minute Kyle loses an immunity challenge that he would be going here, when mm-hmm. we have so, and I would get if he was making all the strategic decisions as well, but we have so many big powerhouses in this cast that it just feels like so predictable that that would have been the way that it went. And we did not end up getting that here, but arguably something even worse happened, which was not something I thought was going to happen here with losing Saul.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about what's really happening that I think, I don't know if they're dancing around it as yeah. much, but Tuku just gets to steamroll, I guess. This is what we have decided, basically.
They're at nine now with yes. Saul gone. So what we really need to do is this next vote is the last opportunity unless they do another steal a vote or another twist in there, which could happen. But we're at 9 now, so we have 4 Tuku members. So once we get to 8, it's kind of a really rough road ahead for the non-Tuku people at that point.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, I just don't see a world where the cast that we have is going to go with the easy route here with the Tuku steamroll, and especially with the amount of people that are having these little vendettas against one another. We just saw it in the scenes from the next episode with mm-hmm. Sue hates Kyle still for a vote that happened in the second episode that he was left out of, mind you. Sue has had Kyle's number from day one. That's a really good shot of her, by
it's
the way.
It's a like, super good shot
it's
of her.
A super, if I was Sue, that'd be my profile picture on everything. Like the jawline, incredible work there. Mm-hmm. Incredible work by the photographer, cinematographer, whoever is in charge of this photo. Excellent job here.
Part of me is like, but, is she using dirt to contour? Like, what is that?
I feel like she must be. She must have a routine. Watch the skincare routine from the island, Sue. Your fans have been dying to know. But,
so crazy.
So, like, Sue has been gunning for Kyle since literally the second episode that we've had. I feel like Gabe's days are numbered, I personally feel like, just from mm-hmm. the amount of content we've got from him and, like, everybody's opinions of him so far. It just seems like he is given to be a vote at some point. Same with Kyle. I feel like he doesn't have many more rounds to go unless he gets kind of this miracle immunity run again. But I also think we have this other interesting dynamic of all the people on the other side don't trust each other. They're, you know, like, we have Genevieve was one of the main instigators of this Saul blind side here. And we have the mess that is the remaining Gata members with Sam, Rachel, and Andy. That Gata has gone up in my personal stock of players so much recently. I'm so intrigued by everything that they have brought to this episode.
I think Gata has been stars, at least, like, Andy. I'm so excited for Rachel because everyone also sees Rachel as a threat, so she must be doing great. Sam is a mess. We knew Sam was going to be a mess, though.
Yes. I kind of loved the beginning of this where Sam was in his revenge era, and it kind of floundered a little bit and got lost in the sauce when we got to the middle of this episode after the immunity challenge, but I'm hoping we get a little more of revenge arc Sam. Whether it's successful or not is not important to me, but I love the petty mentality here.
Okay. So at the very beginning, like, Sam's thanking everyone for keeping him. He also says, got. So don't know if that's going to take off anywhere. And he hugs it out with Rachel. Rachel said that she played her shot in the dark to gauge reactions. She looked around. She's like, oh, I'm good. And didn't play that idol. Rachel.
It was so good. It's so good.
We get an explainer in the next episode. I was so happy about that. She's so smart. Now, Andy, he calls himself the certified flipper. Because he's like, I didn't forget you guys were basically mm-hmm. acting like you could take me or leave me. Yes. So this is why I did this. And I was like, did Sam buy that? I think he did, though. Because later on, he says he's more focused on getting revenge on Lavo.
Yeah. I feel like maybe, I don't know if it's that Sam believes him or feels like, you know, like, oh, he can forgive Andy faster than he can forgive the Lavo people, or if it's more so like he has an understanding of why Andy flipped, and while he's probably going to try to, if depending how long both of them are staying in the game, they're probably going to get some arc where it's these two versus each other at some point. They're gonna be at odds again, I'm sure of it.
Mm-hmm.
They're both very messy players when they want to be.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like, can you really argue with the fact that Andy felt left out of this alliance? I mean, it's pretty much been proven every time we have seen this group together.
Right.
But I don't hate any of these players on GATA for, like, the decisions they made here. Like, I can totally get why Sam wants to go for Lavo players right now, and I can totally get why Andy was flipping on GATA and now kind of is in this middle spot here. I think that it's a great spot for him. I'm really enjoying Andy in a position of some power at the very least. Whether or not I think he wins is a completely different story, but I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying the dynamics here, and I really loved the conversation we got between Andy and Rachel as a result, where we can actually talk about the possibility of those two aligning here.
Okay. Now, is this the first time we're getting a will they, won't they alliance? Like, it was so...
I know! They were like, well, if it works out for us, like, if it could happen, I'd love for it to happen. So it wasn't like a confirmation, but I feel like they're on better ground right now than they were for, like, the entire pre-merge. So I feel like, at the very least, progress has been made. The door has not been closed on these two aligning. And I personally want these two to align very badly. I want them to be, like, a solid alliance. Maybe Saul going here opens up an opportunity for that to happen. But that's what I am hoping for now that my favorite of the players that are left has been gone.
Right. Ooh. Okay, so I get why Genevieve would be like, let's take out Saul. I mean, yeah. He used that advantage on Rachel. And I'm not saying Rachel needs to have an undying loyalty to Saul, but truly, like, she seemed excited about that connection and everything. Why do you think it was like, oh, we're still not going to put our neck out for Saul versus Tuku, who's been in this game since the freaking beginning?
I'm so confused by this because I think part of it is that these players, there are certain ones of them that there are certain players in this season that are making the big bold moves, right? I think we see that with Genevieve. We saw that with Saul. We saw it with Rome, love him or hate him. Like, you see the players that are willing to make those big moves. And a lot of these other players, and I don't blame them necessarily, because we see how a lot of players, particularly in marginalized communities, get treated when they try to make big moves. They just become a target much earlier than maybe other players with a little more privilege that would make a similar move and get away with it. But I really think that for some of them, they're benefiting from the fact that we have a good amount of players playing scared or playing what they think is at least the best for them, which is to not rock the boat, especially when you have a player like, let's say, Sam or Kyle, who just seem like such obvious targets for the next time that we have a vote, or Gabe. Like, the names that we keep hearing getting thrown around are the same names we keep hearing as other options in the previous 2-3 rounds here. So I do find that interesting, but I also think that maybe we're, like, we see a certain picture of, okay, Tuku, there's still four members of Tuku. There's been four members of Tuku for a really long time now. Like, then there probably would have been five members of Tuku had that advantage not been played on Rachel here. Mm-hmm. But we also have seen segments of, you know, Caroline wants to keep everybody together because that benefits Caroline. And I think Caroline is 100% correct in that assumption. I think she has her nail on the head on that one. We have a player like Gabe, who's been a huge target to a lot of people. Kyle is emerging as a huge target to a lot of people. But Sue is also really disgruntled with Kyle. Caroline, I don't know what her social game is yet with some of the other players on here, but there's just a lot going on with this tribe that we're not necessarily seeing that I think makes it easier for them to say we're not working together. And maybe they're not to the extent outside of like, okay, if I don't vote with you here, we are screwed.
It's very interesting though. I think Caroline and Sue are very tied together, but I don't know I don't know if Sue is feeling, like, as much loyalty to Caroline, because her, out of her mouth every time, it's Gabe, 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 Gabe.
I know.
It's wild. And I actually don't think we see a lot of Gabe. I don't think he has a lot of confessionals and stuff, or maybe they're just not sticking out to me. But what was very interesting to me is that on Lavo, Genevieve said that Tuku listens to Gabe. So he's the head of the snake. And I'm just like, but Genevieve, why is that beneficial to you to keep him then?
The only thing I can think of at this point is that Genevieve knows eventually she's going to have to cut Gabe and maybe cut some of these other players in here. But the longer Gabe stays in, the longer Kyle stays in, the longer a lot of these big eccentric players, I mean big as in big personalities here, the longer those players stay in, the less of a target that Genevieve is going to have, because we're seeing all her confessionals and all of her sneaky moves, and we know what she was able to achieve in the pre-merge here, but we did not see, the contestants that are on the island are not seeing that. We even get a message or a confessional with Kyle this episode of him saying, I don't think Genevieve's a big, like, strategist. So I don't think that's ignorance on Kyle's part. I mean, it's like, it's not correct. We know that. But I think that there is a possibility we should consider that maybe that's kind of the idea that a lot of these players have at the moment. I don't know mm-hmm. how much longer she's going to be able to get away with something like that, but that's definitely kind of the vibe that I'm getting here from that situation.
Yeah, I mean, for the fallout of this, I'm scared for Rachel. Sam put her on blast by telling Saul, and then Saul going back to Genevieve and trying to rally Genevieve and Teeny, and I'm just like, I'm stressed. So I don't know if this is going to look good on Rachel, if she's going to be able to put the heat just back on Sam, that he's the problem that we were doing all this.
I mean, I think it's very possible that they'll be able, I mean, I would not be surprised if either of these people are the next to go. However, I am counting my blessings here that Rachel still has an idol in her possession, and I'm hopeful. Also, Sue also has an idol, but like, that has not been brought up for several rounds now, which is
not relevant.
It's not relevant right now, which is fine, but I completely forgot about it every time until I mentioned that, like, Rachel has an idol, because that's kind of the spotlight of the idol talk right now. But it is helpful. I was hoping at some point that possibly Rachel would play her idol for Saul here, but I think for her personal game, it's probably better to keep it at least one more round to protect either herself or her allies and kind of confirm that they can get a Tuku out. I don't know if getting Sue out at that moment was best for her. It's certainly better for her than Saul, but she might want that insurance since it's, you know, her name has been thrown out before too.
Yeah. I mean, that would have been magical. I did misremember that. I thought Saul had an idol because he found that advantage, but that was just to be used on Rachel, the luckiest survivor castaway this season.
I love that for her, though. Deserved.
Yes. Let's talk about this challenge a little bit. Like we said, it was a relay. They had to do doubles. And you know what? Sam makes another grave mistake of just having to really pull at this and telling Andy, pull all you might. Andy, you do not have to listen to him. Andy. But he does, and it rips just like, that's on you. So they're the first ones out. That's embarrassing.
Have we considered the fact that Andy is not the problem in every situation? Like, is that a conversation we can have here? Because I don't think, I don't think Andy was the problem in this situation. You know what? Maybe he wasn't the problem in every situation, too. He definitely was that one where they were, like, sawing the...
Was hilarious.
That was a one-time, you know, like, there are other people that can be the problem, too. It's not just all Andy's fault.
No. I will consider that. I will defend that chaotic bi.
We love a chaotic bi. And I was scared for Andy a couple times this season, and he really wasn't one of my favorites coming into the season, or not coming into the season, but like within the first few episodes, especially mm-hmm. in the pre-merge. But he's really grown on me, and he's had some really solid episodes coming up. So you know what? I'm on the Andy train. I'm rooting for this chaotic bi success. Finally, a player that would play like me.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. I love his confessionals. They love him. Like he's a star.
So excited to be here. You know, absolutely. But like he also is like obviously putting a lot of thought in his game. He didn't just show up.
No. Other than that, the next step that they have to do is build the staircase. Sue and our girl Genevieve were killing that, being in the lead. And then they have to cross over a balance beam. See, Sue killed it. She jumped across that beam and finished.
That Wonder Woman was like nobody's business. Incredible work on her end.
Imagine. I mean, Kyle and Gabe, they team up, and Gabe is able to basically run across because that was the only way that they were going to beat them, and does what could have happened. What would have happened? Would have changed anything, really? If Sue, not, no. No, Sue and Genevieve, it would just have been the same.
I don't think it would have really changed the outcome of anything here. The only thing that really could have helped was if Saul won immunity, really, I think at this point.
Bummer. And he got close. I mean, he makes it to the end. They have to do the whole holding on the little... Yeah.
I was hopeful. It's like the beams. I don't even know what to call them. They're like, they're like the walls, and they have the little footholds that they have. Yeah.
My thing is, we've seen plenty of these challenges before. Why can't we name them?
They have to have a name. I just don't know what they are.
They should say. It should be popular.
Yeah.
I just don't understand why that's not a thing.
I wonder if they went on, like, the Survivor Wiki, if they were, like, this episode had this challenge on here.
Yeah, I wonder. As you're looking, at the end, they all go down to individual, and Gabe ends up pulling out over Kyle, which was kind of shocking. He was so happy. He did a dancey dance. I guess the dancey dance is homage to a football player. I don't know. I'm on Blue Sky. I saw someone mention it. I'm like, I don't know football, so sure.
I will take your word for it, because I also have no idea.
But, like, I feel like Jeff looked up like he was crazy. He had no clue what was going on.
Oh, no, I don't think so either. But, like, Jeff doesn't strike me as a huge football guy.
He's busy.
Yes, he's busy. He's got things to do. But I could be wrong.
I think Jeff really loves Survivor and thinks this is the greatest thing ever. I think he can't be entertained by football. That's just he's like, oh, what if we made the footballers, like, just not eat? They have to compete for food after. I don't know. Anyways, so basically the finalist, though, which is Saul, Kyle, Teenie, and Gabe, they get a picnic. Teenie has eaten on every single reward.
I want that luck so badly.
I know. And this time was probably the worst time, because we get Saul burping up a storm. Ugh. And freaking Gabe is like, well, now I have to burp. And now I feel small because my burp isn't as big as Saul's. And I'm just like, you literally have the immunity necklace around your neck and you're talking about being small. This is why I am so glad I was born a woman. Because what is that?
Oh my God, no. Oh, the burp. The burping I could have done without. They've had a couple gross moments this season, like the auction last episode. I don't consider myself a super squeamish person, but the zoom in on them eating those grubs will forever haunt me, and I just can't.
I kind of loved it. I kind of loved it because it just immediately took me back to Lion King, which I said last time. Like,
oh my god.
Yeah.
Incredible work.
Thank you. Thank you. But yeah, it's just like, get them down. Get them down if you can. And of course, Sue was in it. And not much comes from here. They try to go back and say what the vote is. And then everyone back at camp is like, actually, really meaning Genevieve, actually, Saul is the vote because yeah. he threw out Gabe and we have to protect Gabe. And I'm like,
I still don't understand, but okay. That's the, I have the challenge name. So the challenge itself of the stages, right? Like doing the staged immunity mm-hmm. challenge is called Eve 6, like EVE 6. It's mm-hmm. also called E5, different stages or stage fright. So that's something, like it has a lot of names, but the challenge where, the end challenge where they're right. Balancing on the little footholds and they're holding onto the walls there, it's called Uncomfortably Numb. Yes.
I want to rename that, but hey, okay.
Yes. That's what they call it, Uncomfortably Numb. So now we have the name. Maybe that's why they don't.
That like, has to be a fan name.
What?
That has to be a fan name.
I don't know necessarily. I think they name all the challenges, but I think there's some, like, Touchy Subjects isn't actually called Touchy Subjects to them. I forget what it's called. Touchy Subjects is the one where they write out, they like, who is the person most likely to win the game? And you write that person's name on, and you get points for every time you vote with the majority. But it's other stuff like, who's the most annoying? Like, yeah. stuff that you get people pissed off. So that's Touchy Subjects. But yeah, so they have some that go by like fan names and some that are like their proper names, I guess I would say. But yeah, so Uncomfortably Numb.
Interesting. Thank yep. you for getting
no
that.
No problem.
Okay, so basically all that's happening. And then on the other end, of course, someone loses a vote, Gia.
Not just one. Four people lose a
yes.
vote. Because we can't have a normal vote here.
But then it's like they didn't lose a vote. You took them on a boat to go over by a huge, beautiful, by the way, rock formation thing.
Yes.
Just to play a game of Jenga.
Yes. And it will never piss me off more than Sam saying it's like stacking a house of cards. I'm like, that is exactly what you guys are doing. You are stacking houses of cards here. Like, that is what this is. I'm sorry.
And someone's gonna lose $1 million.
Like
Over Jenga. Sick.
I'm kind of glad that none of them went home. The people that were in this one. I just hate, and because of this episode, Nicole, I'm kind of pissed that people are talking so highly about this tribal council and this, not the vote out itself, like who got voted out, but the chaos that happened, because that means we're definitely getting this challenge again. And we're definitely getting everybody like split up into like three different groups to go on either your reward, your punishment, or just back to camp. And you're all going to come back together and create a mess.
But it wasn't good because of that. It was good because Genevieve comes up with one plan, someone outs it, and then Saul pulls Genevieve, who created it, and it's like, this is the new plan. And it's like, okay, what's going to happen? That could happen in any situation, and they separate them a lot.
Yeah, I know. But I feel like that's the logic they're going to use, and we're definitely getting this challenge again.
Yeah, I don't disagree. We are.
Yeah, we're definitely getting it, and we're getting it for all the wrong reasons. Like, the losing your vote part was terrible. We're going to get that. They're going to be like, this episode was so good. Let's do it again. I'm like, no! It's like the double tribal councils. They love those for some reason, but every time they do them, I get pissed off at who goes home.
Of course, because black people go home.
It's all the black people and Evie and Nasir, and I have never had a good... You have never seen me have a good time at a double tribal council. I'm sorry.
No, it's not good at all. Did you have a beautiful black moment watching this?
Oh, I mean, we don't even have a lot of, like, black players. We have one, with Gabe left. So I guess the dance or him winning immunity, like, good on him. But, like, what I resonated with the most, I loved Caroline cheering for Rachel during this card stacking. That's where, that was, like, a beautiful woman moment, let's say.
Yeah. I wonder what her sign is. Her first go-to is always to cheer someone on.
Ooh, that's a good idea.
Yeah, I'll end up putting it in post. I did that last time with Rachel because I'm like, why is she so lucky? What's with her intuition? And she's like a Pisces sun. So
Caroline's birthday is November 12th. Oh my god, it was yesterday.
She's a Scorpio. There has to be some other things going on though. She's very expressive.
I wonder if Caroline knows her big three. I would love to see her idea of, like, get her opinion on astrology as a whole.
I mean, she probably knows if she's watching Nerdtainment and stuff.
Yeah, I hope so. I wonder.
Yeah. That's a good one. My beautiful black moment was, like, it was just, Saul tried so hard.
I love Saul, and I'm so sad that I hope he is the 47 player we get back on 50. I'm sorry. I really want it to be him. Like, now we are getting towards, I mean, we're still at 9 people, so we're like literally halfway through at this point, which sounds insane. But I do want to say that, like, you know, now we are getting an idea more so of, like, the full personalities of these players and the arcs that they might get. So while we still have half the players left, I am hopeful about Saul being one of the 47 players in contention to return to 50, especially if it's a second chance this season. I feel like he fits the mold of the type of player that we were looking for.
He's a beautiful king.
He's a king. I genuinely do feel like this is a player that a lot of people were rooting for. He had a lot of really strong moments in here. He really seems to enjoy the experience. His goodbye words were so sweet as well. So I think that he's definitely in contention, especially if, Nicole, I don't know if you've been in the discourse about the news that they're not looking for players looking to settle score. They're looking for players to enjoy the experience and appreciate their
celebration.
Yes, it's a celebration. I feel like Saul would definitely be a player we could all celebrate. You know, I think that's a player that definitely, especially if it's second chances, now that we know that he does not win, I feel like this is definitely the type of player that we are looking for and that could be in contention as the returnee player of 47.
What if they bring back John?
Love it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I get it. But I just feel like if for a season like this, if they're bringing back a first boot of a recent season, it just, especially one that already has so much success outside of the show, it's just not necessarily what I would hope that they do with that spot, especially if they're doing 18 players. Like, there's just so many other players I want to see.
Okay.
First
but
from 47 just does not strike my fancy.
But what if I add in Mike White to sweeten the deal?
Like, if I had to get, like,
if we add John Levitt to Survivor 50 and then add Mike White
as the confirmation.
Well.
I do love that idea. However, I think I would also still decline. I think Mike White doesn't need Survivor. You know, we love Mike White. I feel like he should be able to call up Jeff Probst and just say, I'm coming on to season 50, and that's the end of the discussion. And, like, that's how he gets cast. They don't ask him. He tells them that he's coming on. That's as much as I love Mike White.
Yeah.
But in terms of, like, even, like, first of all, they could just cast all of David versus Goliath again, and I'd be with a few exceptions, but I'd be fine with that. But
yeah.
I just feel like there are other players that I would love to, like, we are already getting so much Mike White content with the White Lotus. That's so popular. And I just feel like there's so many other players that haven't gotten a chance like that. And Mike White has been on, like, The Amazing Race, on Survivor. I'm sure his Big Brother debut will happen anytime now. And I love him, but I just think that there are so many other players that would be ranked higher than him in my list of, like, wants.
Mm-hmm.
And then, now, if you told me that, okay, John Lovett in exchange for, like, Dream Hurd or Sean Rector, like, those are the people tied to John Lovett coming back? Absolutely. Forget it. John can come on as many times as he wants.
That was a deeper pull for me. I'm a more recent fan, but okay. The fact that it's about the celebration, that could be meant in so many different ways, yeah, that I'm like, I'm thinking of who does Survivor want or like know that people already love. Like, I think Suri is going to come back.
Yeah, I think if she wants to come back, she would definitely, like, they would be fine with that.
Yeah.
Like, I don't see a world where, unless they have very specific requirements for the season, like a second chance a season, or like a, like, new school only, which I really hope they don't do. Mm-hmm. Unless it was something that she was not eligible for, I do wish that, I do hope that, or I would be shocked if they didn't at least give Suri an interest call, I should say.
Yeah. Oh, I think it's happening. She's doing a whole run. She went from Big Brother to Australian Survivor, and I think the plan is to go back. And she did Trainers. Yeah, she's been, I think that's going to happen. I think with the celebration, it's like, what do people think of when they think of Survivor, or like the highest moments or something? I'm thinking of how he is saying it's going to be a celebration and that they are going to pull from even like old seasons.
Yeah.
So, obviously, there's going to be someone that's, like, a villain, even though Jeff says there's not. It's just not a controversial feeling bad. We're not trying to start controversy in 50.
Yeah. I think, and that was my interpretation of this. I think, of course, they are trying to drum up interest and give little teaser interviews about some of the players that we can expect for 50, especially because so many of us, the moment 50 was announced as returnees for Survivor 50, the internet exploded. Like, everybody was putting their fan cast together, players that we haven't seen in 20 plus years that we want to see return, myself included. I am not left out of that, everybody. But I would love a celebration that we haven't seen before with Survivor. Like, I know people want to see their favorites come back. There are some players that we could all see play 100 times and never get bored of it. But I want either second chances or new school versus old school, something where we get a nice mix of players that have played recently and have played many seasons ago that we are able to celebrate it, but not with the same people that we've seen 4, 5, 6 times. We've seen those players so many times, and I'm a huge Sandra Diaz-Twine fan. Like, if Sandra's another player, I think should just be able to call production and say, I'm coming on the show. But I just don't personally think that for a season like this, where we've got this big returnee season, that I do not want to see players that have played a million times before. I want to see, like, second chances or something adjacent to that. I do have some exceptions to, like, the people that have not played, people that played twice or less, but that's a whole other thing.
Yeah, I think that's fair. We still need to pick our chaotic bye moment of the episode.
Oh my God. In what world is it not going to Andy? I would love to.
I know.
Right? Like, I feel like he was rather tame this episode, but I just feel like that award is made for him, too. Like,
I've been giving it to him every single episode and just picking different moments. So for me, this moment, this messy one, When first he gets pulled aside and Genevieve's like, want to do something crazy?
Yes.
He's like, oh, like what? Like, he's like, let me listen. And he gets that plan. And then what happens to Andy later? He gets pulled again. And was like, Saul is like, I have to save myself. We're doing this. And you can just see Andy like, ooh.
Yes.
Where am I gonna go? And I was like, oh my god, he is loving it, and I love it for him.
I would love to gossip with Andy.
Love
on the
it.
Show or off it. Yes.
Please, Andy.
I love that. I think if I'm thinking about what was the most chaotic bi moment, like the most chaotically bi-coded moment, it would go to Sam just immediately blowing up Rachel's game after she specifically asked him not to.
Look.
And it didn't even benefit his game. Like, I know he thinks that it did, but it did not in any way, shape, or form. So, I don't know why Sam did that or why in his head the logic of him flipping on the vote on somebody that was not him or flipping the vote from somebody that was not him to potentially being on him would benefit him. But
I know exactly why.
Why?
Because he wants a boys club. I feel like that's what they were talking about. They absolutely post-merge. Him and Saul were bonding over something. I'm like, this makes sense. This makes sense. This is kind of like all he wanted. Yes, he had Andy. But like, he was like thinking that Andy was his puppet. And then he had Sierra. He's been trying to build up the boys, though. So the minute he hears one of his biggest boys is gone, he's like, I gotta save him. And honestly, I was with him.
I mean, like, I get that it's Saul, and that makes sense. Like, yes, I think we all should throw your games away for Saul. If I had it my way, that's how this whole season would end.
Yeah.
However, it just does not make sense in the long run, especially when we got these earlier confessionals about Sam just being like, I'm ready to get rid of all the Lavo. I'm like, Sam, they're targeting a Lavo person. Why are we reinventing the wheel here? Or if you really want to try to get rid of Sue, then do that. But you don't need to flip the vote from, keep the target on some people. Because if it's not you, then even better.
I think it's Lavo minus Saul. He was ready to get rid of Teenie. He was getting ready to get rid of Genevieve. And honestly, they are the bigger threats.
I really want them to get rid of Teenie and Genevieve. I'm sorry. Like, I'm so... Listen, you vote for Asia or know about the plan to get rid of Asia. I will never forget that or forgive. I have said it. I've said it every week. I do not forgive or forget.
Look, when they did these doubles and I'm seeing Teenie next to Saul,
yes,
the bitter part of me was like, that should be Asia.
Right? That part.
No hate to Teenie. It's just, what? And then Teenie cries! All the tears for Saul. And then you still voted for Saul.
Yes.
This is just Teenie's game, though.
It's
Teenie's
the fair
going
weatherness
far.
That I don't like. Like, the fair weather allyship there with who they want to work with, I would say. I'm just not a fan. But that's okay. But I have a personal reason for that, and that's only just because, like, my friend is involved. So, like, that's different, okay? Like, I can be a little petty sometimes. It's fine.
It's just, it's the, oh my god, it's the, oh, I don't want it to happen, and yet you're always have the knife in your hand, Teenie.
You never want it to happen, I get it, but yeah, that was mean, but I stand it, 10 toes in it.
I mean, I think even Teenie would agree.
Exactly, so, it's okay. Saul, I miss you so much. It's been almost an hour since you've been voted out, and the hurt has not gone away.
It's not gone. Well, is there anything else we want to say about this episode?
Very interesting episode. It had very high highs and very low lows. The low lows being the votes being stolen and then given back with reverse Jenga and Saul getting voted out and the very long immunity challenge. But the highs of the episode, I loved the Andy and Rachel segment. I loved the, what was the other one? The scramble in between everything. It was fun to see the different factions break off and then try to piece together what's actually happening. So yeah. I enjoyed it. I could do without the live tribals. The whispering, not for me. I get why some people love it. It is not for me. I apologize. So other than that, though, I think overall, with the exception of like the result, pretty solid episode, all things considered.
Agreed. All right, Tia, where can people follow you?
You can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and now Blue Sky. At Classically Gia for all of my reality TV shenanigans. On Silent Podcast, I am doing my regular recaps of Survivor 47 on my podcast, I Don't Know About That. I'm also doing my weekly recaps on Inside Survivor with my good friend Christine Palin. And on Recap Kickback, I am doing bi-weekly recaps of my second favorite show, just behind Survivor, Abbott Elementary, with Chappelle. Fantastic episodes. We just recorded the episode for recapping episodes 4 and 5. We have an episode that just aired at 9:30, so I'll be watching that tomorrow, but I'm very excited. It's been a fantastic season so far. So if you're not on Blue Sky yet, get on Blue Sky, and if you are on Blue Sky, give me a follow.
Yay. And I'm your host, Nicole Weaver. Please follow Black by Reality across all socials. That also includes, well, it doesn't, but it will, Blue Sky. I am personally on there, just not Black by Reality, but I'll get to it. Other than that, right now we're just doing Survivor recaps as we're taking a break from everything else that's going on, but you can still read my reporting on reality TV and the like on Collider. The ultimatum is coming up, which is a lot, but it's something that I will be covering in my writing. And, you know, we're going to keep staying on the Survivor train until Traitors in January. So, yeah, stay tuned for that. And I don't know. I feel like And Just Like That is coming back. Do you watch And Just Like That?
I don't.
Okay.
I don't think And Just Like That is for me. I loved Sex and the City when they had the reruns on E! Like, I loved those ones. But I don't know. I have a vendetta against a lot of these, like, reboot shows. Like, 10, 20 years later. So I don't know necessarily if it's for me, but I did try watching that 90s show, loved it, and then it got canceled. So maybe that's just a sign that I'm not allowed to like things. Maybe it's better for everybody that I don't, that are fans of And Just Like That, that I don't watch In Just Like That. That means you're probably getting like 10 more seasons.
That's fair. I'm just saying that I feel like it's coming back because that cast is so active on TikTok, and I'm like, what's happening? When is it happening?
Yes.
So, if you guys don't know, we did do a recap for season 2 of And Just Like That. We will be coming back whenever it comes back because, for me, I like pain. Okay, I like pain, and I'm going to see through this queer Miranda Hobbs and whatever is going on over there. So,
I have seen the little tidbits of what happens in these seasons of And Just Like That, and I understand, but I have a lot of questions.
I can answer one of them. What's one of your questions?
Not even sure which is Carrie with Aiden again? Is that like a thing? Why? Yes.
Because that's what old people do, isn't it?
I hate it.
You
I'm sorry.
Get widowed. Then
I
you're
get
like
the widow part.
When's
I get
the
that.
Last time I felt love in my life? She was the one who reached out to him through an email and then was like, oh my gosh, what did I do? And then he actually answered.
I hate that. I'm sorry. Like, sometimes you just need to be broken up with that. Sometimes there's a reason you broke up. Like, especially how many times you two broke up. Be so for real.
Be so for real. And how they then ended the season to, like, bring them apart again. I'm like, what are we doing here? But, you know, it's going to be the new Big. Will they, won't they?
I don't like that. Like, Big was his own thing. Whether your opinion on that relationship, like, for whatever reason. But then, like, I hate the idea of, like, oh, well, like, I hate the love triangle thing already. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm just not a love triangle girly. Sorry, everybody. But I also hate the idea of, like, oh, well, like, I was with the love of my life, and then they died, or they didn't actually end up being the love of my life. So I'm going to go to the other person that made me feel something to it, because maybe that was the right, no, cut it out, at your big age, you're doing all of that.
I love it only because that's what human beings be doing, because the minute old people hopped onto Facebook and started looking for their class, I was like, you're looking at your high school class at your big age?
I am scared for my 50s, like, if my ex from high school is listening, do not message me.
Do not do that.
You may think, oh, like, I need to reach out. That was the one that got, I am not the one that got away. I am not. There is some other love of your life out there. That poor soul. I pray for her, but it is not me. You know, like, there is somebody else that understands you and gets you and loves you way more than I will. So just, I hope you clip this part specifically. I am not the one that got away. I am not the one or the two.
For real. But Carrie's the one who is the good person in this situation. She, like, ended it badly.
100% believe that. Yes. This sounds
so, it's like,
on brand.
She's the ex, the no good ex who is crawling back, and Aiden should have some self-esteem.
I know. I mean, stand up, Aiden. What the hell?
Stand up, Aiden.
Yeah.
Oh my god. And he had a Hannibal Lecter freaking jacket. I'll send it to you.
Thank you. I feel like I have missed out on a lot, apparently.
Yes, you have. All right, guys. I hope that you are doing well, taking care of yourself. Please stay visible, and I hope you feel visible today. Bye. Oh, but